Hello and welcome to the Climate Clinic, a podcast brought to you by the Global Consortium on Climate and Health Education. My name is Adesh Sundaresan, and I'm a doctor from University College London. In this series, Be the Expert, I'll be joined weekly by my co-host, Dr. Mark Futenig, an emergency physician from Los Angeles. Each week, Mark and I will bring you the latest headlines from climate and health research from the leading evidence-based journals from around the world. Tune in to learn about the health implications of climate change, how this is affecting us today, and what needs to be done. By the end of it, you'll know all you need to know in order to be the expert. I think this study was a really kind of seminal paper, Mark. It informs some regarding some of the molecular pathways, unique molecular pathways that through which air pollution affects pediatric respiratory health in children with brittle asthma, and also really verifies and confirms to us that air pollution does indeed very likely cause asthma completely separately and uniquely to viruses, which have been, you know, one of our main traditional triggers that we think of as causing exacerbations of pediatric asthma.
That is just a taste of what we have coming up in today's episode for you. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of this series, Be the Expert. I'm Mark Futernick. I'm an emergency physician in Southern California in the United States, and also the managing editor of the open access journal, the Journal of Climate Change and Health. I'm co-hosted by Dr. Adesh Sundaresan. Adesh, I believe you're in India. Tell us a little bit about it.
Thanks very much, Mark. Yes, my name is Adesh Sundaresan. I'm a doctor based at University College London in the UK, where I have been lecturing on climate change and health for the past few years. So I've actually come out to India to spend a bit of time with a relative who recently had an NSTEMI, or a type of myocardial infarction or heart attack, for those who aren't familiar with the term. And, you know, one of the most recent interventions we undertook to help her have some fighting chance of preventing a recurrence or reducing the risk in the future is buying an air filter. That was shortly after the episode that we recorded on air pollution back in October or November, where my relative had the heart attack. And I was just thinking, crikey, how much of that was related to the constant air pollution exposure that she's facing on a daily basis?
Adesh, I love the part you were telling me before we started that you would put the air filter in the room and it would show that it was red, and then over the course of a day, it could clear out to a better air quality in the room. You move it to another room and it really showing that there was air pollution to clear out that your family's exposed to that we're now cleaning up.
So much for opening your windows for fresh air, Mark. Certainly not in Mumbai on a main road. Let me tell you, that air filter took a fair amount of time to switch from red to amber to eventually green. And I say eventually there in block capitals.
Well, let's go ahead and dive in because we're right on topic. Today, we're going to talk about air pollutants and climate and our health. As many of our regular listeners know, we've discussed a detailed review on air pollution and health from the British Medical Journal last year, and as well as several episodes looking at the built environment and air pollution. And even our most recent episode was a look at the impact of wildfire smoke, in a sense, a form of air pollution, on cancer risk. So today's study was published just last month, and I love that we're doing a lot of really fresh articles on this series in the Lancet Planetary Health. And we found this study really interesting. Adesh, tell us about it.
So the study was titled Associations Between Outdoor Air Pollutants and Non-Viral Asthma Exacerbations and Airway Inflammatory Responses in Children and Adolescents Living in Urban Areas in the USA, a Retrospective Secondary Analysis. So there were many authors who contributed to this study from a variety of prestigious institutions, and they collaborated on this paper, and we won't name them all this time, but we'll name the lead author, who was Altman and team. And this was funded by the National Institute of Health and the NIAID. So what is the context of this study? Well, Mark, we know that our increasing rates of urbanization have increased the severity and prevalence of asthma in young people. But the mechanisms through which this air pollution worsens our asthma, and exactly how these compare to that of, say, viral-induced asthma, are not very clear to researchers thus far. So prior to this study, we have been able to identify key inflammatory pathways through which viral infections, which are the most common cause of asthma exacerbations, through which they sort of induce asthma. And they allow us to some degree, target the issue and treat it, reduce morbidity and mortality from these viral-induced asthma exacerbations. But we don't really know much about the mechanisms that underpin non-viral exacerbations of asthma. So this study, and I actually really love this article, Mark, it was the first to do two things. So the first of which was to link specific air pollutants to distinct molecular pathways of airway inflammation. And secondly, also demonstrate that air pollution exacerbates asthma independent of any triggering virus. So this increased the understanding that we now have of the potential causes of air pollution-induced asthma, and hopefully can inform targeted treatment strategies and strengthen the public health argument for policies that reduce our air pollution and protect our children and adolescents' health.
Many outdoor air pollutants are linked to the onset of asthma exacerbations, including nitric oxide, ozone, sulfur dioxide. There have been studies looking at the physiologic effects from air pollutants, but not so much at the molecular mechanisms by which they trigger asthma exacerbation in humans. The authors aim to improve the characterization of the relationship between outdoor air pollution and asthma exacerbations among children living in dense urban settings by analyzing changes in their airway physiology and even airway gene expression during acute exacerbations, and then seeing if there were any associations between overall air quality and individual pollutants with these distinct gene expression pathways. So diving into the methods, this was a retrospective analysis of data from a previously performed prospective observational cohort study, which was named Muppets 1, which I like because it's easy to say. And they validated their hypotheses or their conclusions that they got from the first analysis with a second cohort study, which is called ICATA, which I'll call ICATA, which is not as funny as Muppets, which included data from a double-blind randomized controlled trial. So overall, this was a fresh look at data that was collected from two other studies and then resorted and analyzed from a whole new perspective.
So Mark, I just want to describe these cohorts in a little bit of detail. So Muppets 1, favorite name, was an observational study of 208 children with basically brittle asthma, so prone to exacerbations. And these children were in low-income, dense urban settings, and they were followed up between 2015 and 17 for respiratory illnesses. So basically, these children were followed for 6 months, for a six-month period, or up to when two respiratory illnesses had occurred, so whichever first, really. So the participants who reported a respiratory illness were asked to return to clinic, and then from them, researchers collected nasal samples and also performed pulmonary function testing as well. So that's lung function, basic lung function tests. And each illness, each of these recorded illnesses for any of these children, was defined as either viral or non-viral based on the nasal sample that they took. And importantly, the second classification was whether this was an exacerbation of their asthma or not. So if you can imagine, there's two categories here and therefore a number of four different permutations. So they could either have non-viral exacerbations of asthma, non-viral, non-exacerbations of asthma, viral exacerbations of asthma, and viral respiratory illnesses that weren't exacerbation of asthma. So long story short, four different permutations. They're looking at whether these were viral cases and whether these were asthma exacerbations. And they basically assessed whether this was an exacerbation on asthma based on whether the fact that the child had been treated with systemic steroids within 10 days following the onset of their respiratory symptoms. And the second cohort, so that was Muppets, and the ICATA, as you've described, Mark, was a randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial of omalizumab, a monoclonal antibody, conducted between 2006 and 2009 in over 400 inner-city children, adolescents, and young adults between about 60 and 20 years old with persistent allergic asthma. And from these young adults and children, nasal samples were collected within 7 days of the onset of an asthma exacerbation, again, classified similarly, requiring systemic corticosteroids. And they collected further samples at the end of the 48th study week as well, even if they hadn't had an exacerbation of asthma as well.
So thanks for describing those cohorts. So those are the previous studies. And so now they use that data. And in this study, they included participants from the Muppets cohort who reported a respiratory event at some point during the follow-up, and participants from the Ikata cohort who had nasal samples collected due to a respiratory event or at a scheduled visit, because this is how they were able to separate exacerbations that did or did not include a viral component. So to quantify the exposure to air pollution, the authors downloaded air quality index values and individual air pollutant data for particulate matter 2.5, PM10, ozone, nitrous oxide, sulfur dioxide, carbon monoxide, and lead as well from the US EPA, spanning the years of the studies and the cities of participant recruitment. And here are some of the outcomes they looked at. They're looking at the association between those AQI values, the air quality index, and pollutant concentrations and the respiratory event type, meaning whether this was an asthma exacerbation or not. They also looked at what happened to pulmonary function tests and gene expression products in the nasal samples. Then they did some statistical analysis, which is quite complex, but is well described in the paper. And then we'll jump into the results. So they broke down the results into a few different findings. So let's start with some of the headlines. And all of these were really taken from the analysis of the Muppets cohort initially. So they found that AQI values, again, air quality index values, were significantly higher for asthma exacerbation cases across the duration of the study period, which included exactly from 9 days before the report of symptom onset until 9 days after the onset of respiratory symptoms. These AQI values were significantly higher overall in the non-viral asthma exacerbation event subgroup compared with the other three event subgroups, which included those with a viral infection and those without an exacerbation. The AQI values also appeared to increase during the period of days right around these non-viral asthma exacerbations. And these exacerbations occurred after a few days of sustained increase in AQI. The other three event groups had statistically similar AQI values to each other, which was lower than the group of interest. So the conclusion is that higher AQI values, or local air pollution exposure, is associated specifically with non-viral asthma exacerbations, which is kind of the point of this study. They also performed a case crossover comparison showing higher AQI values in the week directly preceding non-viral exacerbations versus the months and days leading up to that week. And this was not seen in the viral-induced asthma exacerbation cases. So again, what they're showing is not that these people are constantly getting hit with these higher values. They're having higher values right before they have an exacerbation, further confirming that that's really the cause of what's going on. So all of this demonstrates that increased air pollution exposure is associated with non-viral asthma exacerbations. This makes intuitive sense considering what we already know. Adesh, what else did they find?
Yeah, very, very powerful results from this study as well. Continuing on from the points that you've made, Mark, so now we're looking at specific pollutants that make up this air quality index. So looking at levels of these specific pollutants, many of these were also significantly higher during the same time windows that you've described, Mark. So pre, during, and post the symptom onset of their asthma exacerbations. And these are namely ozone, nitrogen dioxide, and particulate matter 2.5 microns. And actually the mean particulate matter PM 2.5 concentrations during these non-viral exacerbations of asthma on some occasions reached concentrations that were higher than the EPA primary standards or the levels, but mean ozone and nitrogen dioxide concentrations didn't exceed the US national ambient air quality standards. And similarly, the average, the mean AQI assessments did not reach EPA concentrations designated as unhealthy, but only moderate. So what we're seeing here is that these pollutant levels were higher than baseline, but not necessarily dubbed unhealthy or technically harmful, really, by the EPA, but still associated with asthma exacerbations. So, Mark, my question there is, does that mean our thresholds, or I guess in this case, the US EPA thresholds of what constitutes safe or unhealthy or moderate need to change? Because clearly harm is occurring at moderate levels, especially for these children with brittle asthma. That's a question I'll leave open to the floor.
Well, Adesh, recall from our earlier episode that WHO, the World Health Organization, decreased its PM2.5 safe level to just 5 micrograms per meter cubed, which is lower than the levels found in this study, further confirming that we're experiencing harmful effects at levels below what many countries, including the US, consider safe by their regulations and enforcement standards. We do need to modify these to protect our health.
So the lung function tests were also really interesting, Mark. Basically, to keep things short, during these non-viral asthma exacerbations, air quality index values showed a significantly inverse association with a specific value known as FEV1, which is basically how much air you can blow out in the first second of breathing out really, really fast as a percentage of what we might predict you to be able to do. And so basically, as your air quality index gets worse and the pollution goes higher, the FEV1 goes down, which again is quite intuitive.
So Desh, without getting into too much detail on this, they also talked about how the individual pollutant concentrations were associated with specific changes in gene expression pathways in the airways. For instance, they found in the Muppet study that PM2.5 concentrations were associated with the expression of genes in airway epithelial cells that are specific to asthma exacerbation events without evidence of viral infection. And they then attempted to replicate these molecular findings from increased air pollution concentrations in the non-viral exacerbation group from the Itaca study. When they did this, they found that increased exposure to ozone and PM2.5 values were associated with non-viral asthma exacerbations, but not nitrous oxide. Also, they found that the impact of worse air quality on these non-viral exacerbations was still significant regardless of where people live or what time of year it is.
So Mark, the important take home is all our listeners are probably sitting there and going through, racking their brains, and there are a huge number of findings actually that we've listed from this study. So let's summarize what this study has shown as we wrap up. So in this paper, the authors have identified associations between outdoor air pollution and several distinct airway inflammatory pathways in children that live in urban areas with asthma exacerbations during non-viral illnesses, non-viral respiratory illnesses. So the first of these major findings is that air pollutants are associated with asthma exacerbations in dense and particularly impoverished urban communities. And the proportion of these asthma exacerbations that occur in the absence of a viral illness compared with those that occur because of a viral illness actually looks to be higher than we might have observed in the past in pediatric populations in non-urban areas. So there's a bit of a health equity component here in that not only is this air pollution now clearly linked distinctly and separately to triggering cases of asthma outside of viral cases, but that this tends to affect people more in impoverished urban communities too. Secondly, they also found that some of these individual pollutants can be linked to specific pathways of airway inflammation. So as you've just described, Mark, PM2.5 causes transcriptional changes that trigger sort of these immune pathways in epithelial cells. This is not something that's unique to non-viral asthma exacerbations, but actually what they're really saying to us here from this paper is that the degree of exposure and basically the magnitude of the genetic downstream effects that happen in our cells within our airways is higher in this group, okay?
So this study demonstrates that even what we call moderate increases in local air pollution relative to the US national air quality standards adversely affect our health. This analysis also suggests that exposure to a mixture of pollutants over several days may be additive in triggering asthma exacerbations, which would make sense as we know that it works this way in other conditions, such as when we combine hypertension and diabetes, they have a cumulative effect that greatly increases the risk of heart disease. So they're finding the same thing here with the individual air pollutants. They also discussed some of their limitations, as we always do. They used regional pollution data, which, as we've talked in other studies, doesn't fully match the personal or individual pollution exposure, which would be a lot harder to obtain, maybe requiring like a personal monitor. They only measured outdoor air quality, while we're more exposed to the indoor air quality, which of course is impacted by the outdoor air quality, but also many individual indoor factors. I mean, you just think about, you know, having a burning a fire in your house, you know, for warmth is obviously going to change your indoor air quality. Also, despite adjusting for seasonal changes, they did not specifically address the potential role of inhaled allergens as a contributor of asthma exacerbations. They sort of divided them just into those two categories. I think future studies are needed to accurately measure these allergen exposures in order to further parse these asthma exacerbations into all three mechanisms, you know, viral, allergic, and pollution-induced. We should also note that this study had small numbers of patients because they did extensive studies on each patient, you know, the nasal samples and some of the blood work and the PFTs. Therefore, the sample size from the specific group of interest, those with non-viral exacerbations, was a pretty small number, just 14 patients in one of the cohorts. So while it was great that they were able to validate these findings with an independent cohort, future studies with a much bigger sample size would be really helpful.
I think this study was a really kind of seminal paper, Mark. It informs some regarding some of the molecular pathways, unique molecular pathways that through which air pollution affects pediatric respiratory health in children with brittle asthma, and also really verifies and confirms to us that air pollution does indeed very likely cause asthma completely separately and uniquely to viruses, which have been, you know, one of our main traditional triggers that we think of as causing exacerbations of pediatric asthma. And one thing I'd like to highlight is this paper, when I went through it initially, and when we both went through it, Mark, some of the when we looked through the methodology and looking through some of the cohorts and the explanations, felt a little clunky at times and hard to follow, particularly with some of the acronyms as you went through. So hopefully we've been able to condense some of that and keep it fairly straightforward and dive into the key findings from this paper. And overall, this study can inform new asthma management strategies for children who live in these urban areas. Perhaps they could employ personal air quality monitors, consider, you know, fitting filters for these children during periods of high risk, especially when ozone and PM2.5, which we now know from this study are very closely linked to non-viral asthma exacerbations, especially when those two are raised. And we can also start to consider treatment approaches to target these triggered genomic or genetic, you know, pathways that are offset from specific air pollutants. Thank you very much for tuning in today to Be the Expert. We hope you enjoyed the episode. As always, please do give us your feedback and write into us about topics that you'd like to see featured on this podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll see you very soon.